Once again, as always, thank you to the worship team for leading us in that. And Can It Be? I love that song. Dustin and I brought it out. He's always excited when he brings out one of the old hymns. And we always talk about the fact that even though some of you are young enough that you don't know these old hymns, they are written to be sung. And as we sing along, you catch on. And it was just interesting to listen to the volume of that song grow as we continue to sing it. And I'll guarantee you that some of those lines in there, if you are under 85 years old, you don't know what the heck they're talking about. It's old English. We don't know what these words are saying. Even if you're 85 or younger, you might, or older, you may not know some of them, but you know the heart of that song. We come today, as I said, to talk about Thanksgiving and to talk about this attitude of gratitude. And I really want us to do that today. Before we get started, though, I need to know how many people have a turkey that needs to be out between 12 and 12:30? Okay. How many people? No, we're not going to go very long, but some of us are looking forward to family gatherings and friend gatherings today, and some of you have already done that. Some of you will do that tomorrow. Some of you have done that weeks ago or will do it in weeks to come. Some of us who own two passports will celebrate it twice, once now and once at the real time in November. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, much better deal. Lots of leftovers all weekend to watch football, lots of football. Somebody said, you probably don't celebrate this. I said, we celebrate both. We celebrate Canadian mostly. Last year, my sister and her family were in town, so we did American Thanksgiving. But mostly it's Canadian Thanksgiving that we gather together and to celebrate. I love this time of year, and I like it because it's kind of what I like to call one of our deep breath moments. And I think for us as a family and for me as an individual and for us as a congregation, there comes these times where we need to stop and just kind of take a deep breath, catch our breath. Lots been happening. For me personally, it usually comes around this time of Thanksgiving because fall kickoff has happened. There's a lot of things going on, usually new sermon series getting into it. Many of you know, and I know you've put up with me on this, that I have helped run the fall food drive at the food bank for numerous years, and I want you to know that this was my third year quitting, and this time it was in writing to the board, and they are aware that I will not be doing it next year. But that just happened this last Monday, and thank you for all who helped, whether in your neighborhood or a neighborhood or here at the church or those who put food out. Despite what the paper said, we did not collect 2,300 pounds of food. We collected 23,000 pounds of food. 10 means a huge world of difference. But we got involved there, and when that is over, I like to take a deep breath. Now, up until the last few years, every other year at Thanksgiving time, our family would not be here on Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving Day in 2006, all right, 2006, got to get my dates right, was the day that we entered into a new phase of life with Abby as part of our family. It's our gotcha day for Abby. It was the Monday of Canadian Thanksgiving in Guangzhou, China, and we traveled from Hong Kong to Guangzhou and went into a small room with a lot of families and a lot of screaming babies, and Abby, who was a part of our family prior to that, now became really a physical part of our family, and we adopted her, and we held her for the first time. And so every other year, up until the last few years, we would travel to 1 year we would celebrate here with the Andersons. Andersons in the room? Sure, Roger. What? They're at the lake. So send them good vibes. They adopted with us. We would get together with them, and we have one family that we adopted with from Saskatoon. And 1 year they would come here, and the next year we would go there. And I always look forward to those weekends because I know we get to leave on Friday and just really chill out for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's always a beautiful time in Saskatoon. The flowers, or not flowers, flowers were not in bloom. The trees were dying, and yet they were colorful and beautiful. And we would walk down the river walkway there from downtown and just celebrate an amazing part of life in a beautiful season. And we never had a rainy day. We always had warm and sunny, and it was beautiful, and they could just take that deep breath. And this year, I actually took Friday off this last week. Thursday's my day off with Joanne. We have a day off together now, which is exciting. And I took Friday off as an extra day just because I wanted that deep breath moment. With all that we've got going on here as a church, I hope we can take this deep breath moment and just pause. And it's a good time to stop and to just say thank you to God for all that we have. It's no accident that Thanksgiving comes in the fall of the year because it is the time when traditionally we would stop and give thanks for the harvest. Now, I know this has not been the best year for our farmers. And I know some of you are struggling to get that crop off the field still. And we pray with you. And we come and we celebrate with you that God will still be faithful through all of that. Somebody once said, if a farmer's not complaining, they're dead. I'm not sure that's true. What I would say is the other way around is I've been amazed at the godly farmers that I've known who just trust God through all of it. And to say where it's out of our control. We get our harvest in, we get it in, we don't. And I know that's hard, and I know it's your business, and I know it's your livelihood. And we continue, as I said, to pray with you on that. But Thanksgiving, this fall season, when everything has come, and the winter's gone, and the spring has come, the flowers have blossomed, and summer rejuvenation has happened, and then comes to this time of things, kind of seasons dying off and decay, that's when we stop and just say, you know what, we have a lot to be thankful for. Now, I know for many of you in this room, there are seasons where Thanksgiving is not as plentiful. And there are seasons of life when life is just not the way you want it to be. It's not the way you feel like it should be. And I know that. I mean, whether it's something going on in your family, something going on in your life, I know there are some of you sitting here today are just going, this is not a really thankful time for me. And that happens to all of us at different phases and different times and different seasons. Back in 2002, that was Thanksgiving for me. 2002 was the summer that my mother passed away. She passed away unexpectedly at the month of the end of July. And Joanne and I and the kids went down and spent the month of August flipping her house. I did most of the work by myself. I look back, I don't know what I did. I'm handy, but not that handy. And I redid the whole house, painted inside and out, new floors, new appliances, new everything, and had a month to do it. And at the end of August, we packed up and came home and came back to life as usual, kicking off new association ministries for the ABA that I was working for at the time, overseeing lots of churches here in Alberta, lots of things happening, new setup at work with my boss, and everything kind of kicked in. I remember Ron Berg, who was my boss at the time, came to me and he says, you were gone all of August, but you did not get a break or a vacation. So when you need it, call for it. And I remember telling him, I'm fine, I'm good, everything's great, don't worry about it. Then September kind of comes along, and Joanne and I are both tired, and we're both kind of worn out, and I'm struggling with a lot of feelings that came out of the loss of my mother, guilt and shame for not taking care of her better, not being aware of things in her life, and you know, just carrying the weight of that. And then October comes and Thanksgiving comes, and I was invited out to Onaway Baptist Church to preach the Thanksgiving message. And I remember driving out that morning. We had just started to attend this church here, and Joanne and the girls were here, and I was traveling to Onaway to preach. And I remember driving out there just feeling empty. And I knew that they were expecting me to come and give this really encouraging, uplifting, positive Thanksgiving message. And I figured when I got there, I could do it. But I got there, and I stood up, and I read this passage that I'm going to read to you in a few moments. And I went, folks, I do not feel this in the least. And I began to pour out my heart and my hurt. And these beautiful people in Onaway just stood there and just looked at me like, oh, this poor young man. This is not what we came for. But there's obviously more about him than it is about us this morning. And when I was done, Rick Foster, many of you know Rick Foster, was pastor out there for 27 years, 28 years. Came and put his arm around me and just said, Dennis, that was beautiful. And we're thinking, you're crazy. And he said to me, he said, we have a potluck, we'd like you to stay. But as he was doing this, he was walking me out the door to my car. And he got me to the door of my car and he says, you're welcome to stay, but I think you need to go home and be with your family right now. And I said, Rick, thank you. Thanks for releasing me. I got in the car and I think I cried most of the way home from Onaway. And I don't know what was happening before that. I'm thinking back today of the story. I don't know what was happening right before that. But I walked in the door to our house. We were still living in Edmonton. And there was a lot of noise in the house because there was another car out front. And it was the car that belonged to John and Susan Grins and their family. And John was the pastor here at the time. It just started that summer. And they were great friends of ours from before. And the kids were always over. You know, it was not uncommon for the Grinses to be in our house. And I walked into our little bi-level split. And I went down in the basement where all the laughter was coming from. And as soon as I walked in the room, everybody just went deathly quiet. And everybody stared at me. And John says, hey, why don't we go out for coffee? which means my wife had sold me out. That my wife had told him, I'm struggling or I'm messing up or I'm doing something. I don't even know what it was. But John and I went and got in the car and we started to drive to Tim Hortons in Millwoods. And John, being a good friend and also a good pastor, began to tell me how to fix things. And I remember very clearly sitting in the passenger seat, and I just turned and I said, John, I am not broke. Do not fix me. Just be a friend. So we sat at Tim Hortons, and John did not say a thing the rest of the time. He was scared. He just sat there, and I began to unpack all that I was feeling. But I also began to mention all the things I knew I should be thankful for. And I listed my wonderful family, and even though my mom had her problems, that she raised me well, that she was a great lady of God, and then a lot of people came to celebrate her life, and how I you know, she's my new hero, and I miss her, and I unpacked all these things, and yet I laughed about the memories of my mother and the things that she taught me. And I remember just unpacking all these things, you know, first of all, the gunk, and then it came down to the thanks. And as I gave thanks, my spirit just lifted. And I know it's not always that easy, but sometimes it is. And I remember we laughed, and John finally started to talk again. I had to coax it out of him to say, it's okay to talk now, my friend, because we're over that. And we walked back in the house laughing and joking, and Joanne and Susan, I think Joanne was just relieved to see what had happened. And there was something about that opportunity to stop and just be reminded of what I'm thankful for that lifted my spirit at that time. A few weeks ago at our seniors' luncheon here, we showed a video about the Breitkreutz family and their immigration to Canada from Germany and Russia and all these other places. And I've tried to keep it straight, but some of your stories are the same way. You went a little bit everywhere in Europe. But one part of the story stuck out to me with one of the older gentlemen now who was just a child at the time who looked at his mother who stopped every evening to give thanks to God. And he said to his mother, Mom, why do you give thanks? We have nothing. I mean, they were lucky to get a loaf of bread every 2 or 3 days for the whole family. And she looked at him and said, because we're alive. And some aren't. So we still have something to be thankful for. There's this movement in our world called positive psychology. You may have read some stuff. You may be a part of that. I like it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's this idea of not looking at all of our problems, looking at the good things that we have and the strengths that we have, the choices that we have. And yet, positive psychology is understanding things about the brain that they think is just revolutionary and new and marvelous. And I say it's because the brain we have is the brain that our God created to be like his brain. We were created in the image of God. And our minds are minds that are created to be thankful, to be mindful of the things that even amidst the bad stuff, we can stop and just give thanks for. Pastor Dustin reminded me this morning, he said, thankfulness is not a choice, it's a feeling. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. Sorry, it's a choice. Get it backwards. He's smarter, so let me get it right. Thankfulness is a choice, not a feeling. And when I say, you know, if you start thinking about the things you're thankful for, it doesn't mean that all the bad feelings go away. It doesn't mean the hurt or the strain or the stress of life goes away. But there begins to have a change in our way of just doing life. And for some, that is hard. I read this just recently. I was reading an article on positive psychology, and I was reading an article on gratitude. And this is a definition of two psychologists, Emmons and McCulloch, in 2003 said this. Gratitude is associated with a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after, deserved, or earned, but rather because of the good intentions of another person. We are thankful and have gratitude because even though we didn't deserve something, even though we didn't go looking for something, and many of us, when it comes to God, we're going the other way. We're trying to walk away from him. We get a benefit. Now, we know that not as the new understanding of the human brain. We understand that as grace and mercy from our God who has given us everything we need despite the fact that we deserve nothing. And I love the fact that the world is just catching on to this stuff. And I'm able to sit in groups of people who are really excited about the brain. And they're just so excited that we finally had 4 billion years of evolution to get the brain to this point. And I'm not trying to pick a fight about evolution or not evolution. I'm just saying It wasn't because it took billions of years to get it there. It was because God created our brain in a certain way. It's kind of like God knew something before the scientists did. That God was aware of something. And I want to read to you. I'm not going to have it on the screen today. I just want you to listen to these scriptures. Thousands of years old. Where God talks to us about the act of being thankful. I've got a number of them here. So just sit back, listen. Close your eyes if you can without falling asleep. If you're going to fall asleep, open your eyes and do something. But Psalm 95 was the one that I was preaching in Onaway back in 2002. This is what it says. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And I love this part. You remember the old song, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Psalm 9 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Psalm 107. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 100. I shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Or shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 106. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. The sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then the last one here, which is my wife's favorite. And you know her, if you had students in her class, I'm sure they've heard this. But this is from 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read from verse 12, but her favorite verses, verse 17 and 18. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage and disheartened, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. These are the three verses here. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I read that first part because it's very important for us to understand that the answer to giving thanks sometimes is not serving once you're thankful. But there's something to be said for serving other people when you're struggling to know what you're thankful for. And as you care for and meet the needs of and love on and reach into the lives of those who are weak and hurting and struggling, you'll see an amazing thing begin to happen in your life. That all of a sudden your problems don't go away, but you remember what you are, what you have, and what you have to be thankful for. So you can give thanks and then go serve, or you can go serve and then give thanks. And sometimes it has to go that direction for some of us. Now, Joanne loves that verse. I'm not sure how long has that been your favorite passage for? Since junior high. Came real to her shortly after Hannah was born. I've talked about it before, but she developed a very bad infection after Hannah was born and ended up in the hospital for a number of days, and it was very severe. We didn't realize till I didn't at least realize God kept me stupid through it all to get me through it, to realize how close I came to losing my wife in that time. But the season after that, when she was still in kind of the recuperation mode, which lasted quite a long time, she began to work with teen moms at a local high school. Same time all this was happening, Joanne began to struggle with depression and anxiety, which is something that she's struggled with on and off, and we've talked about that before. She shared it at different things with the women, and I've shared a little bit of her story, but it was the beginning of that season for us. And I remember how hard that was to wrestle with that as a husband and as a father, and yet we had really good days, and then we had days that were a little tougher, and many of you know how those things go. But she was teaching these young teen moms life skills and helping them with their schoolwork and making sure they could graduate from high school. And she was just sharing with me this week as we're talking about it, remembering one young lady coming to her and going, "What are you upset about? Why are you down? You have so much to be thankful for. You got a great looking husband." Is that part of it?
Yeah,
I'm sure. But you know, she said, "You got a husband who loves you. You got a beautiful daughter."